Hello, my friend. Welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church right here in Chesapeake, Virginia. Thank you so much today for listening to the broadcast. We've been going through a series called Transformation or Transformed. And each day there's a different subject that we talk about. And so today I want to focus on being transformed in our feelings. And do you want to feel happier? It's an interesting study that was done way back in 2019, and NPR asked the question, do you want to feel happier today? So based on current scientific studies, here's one way to boost your happiness. Try talking to a stranger. Yeah, that's right. Here's the excerpt from this article. Many of us tend to do just about anything to avoid conversation or even eye contact with strangers. Even smartphones today make it easier than ever for us to do that. But a recent study found that phones can keep us from even exchanging brief smiles with people when we meet them in public places. But a body of research has shown that we might just be shortchanging our own happiness by ignoring opportunities to connect with people around us. Several years ago, two researchers at the University of British Columbia tested whether short conversations with strangers could lift our moods. They asked participants to enter into a busy coffee shop, grab a beverage. Half would get in and get out. Half would strike up a conversation with the cashier. The people who turned the economic transaction into a quick social interaction left Starbucks in a better mood. They even felt a greater sense of belonging in their community. Another researcher led to a series of experiments revealing that train and bus commuters who interacted with other passengers experienced a more pleasant ride. Even when they believed they would prefer perfect solitude of, say, reading a book, a third researcher noted that even brief eye contact increased people's sense of inclusion and belonging. So I want you to know that God wants your feelings about people to be transformed. The Bible has a lot to say about feelings. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, for example, the heart or the feelings is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, so many times we say to somebody, I know what you're feeling like, or I can identify with your feelings, but many times we can't. In 1 John 3:20, says, if our heart condemns us, that is, our feelings condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusts his own heart or his own feelings is a fool, but whoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered. Proverbs 14:12-13 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, or there's a way that feels right, but the end, therefore, is always the way of death. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes or feels right in his own eyes, but he who hears and listens to counsel is wise. And then Jesus put it this way in the book of Mark, Mark 12:29-30, New Living Translation. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. So let's have some facts about feelings. Fact number one is that God has feelings. He tells us to love him with all of our feelings. Way back in Genesis chapter 1, God looked at everything that he made, and he was very pleased. He looked at creation, and he says, man, this is a wonderful creation. I am pleased. In Genesis 6:6, the Lord was very sad when he had made man on the earth because his heart was filled with pain. When God looked at his beautiful creation that he made, and God looked down and mankind fell into sin, we get into Genesis chapter 6, and the wickedness of all of humanity was so bad that God was going to destroy the earth. And you know the story of Noah and that great flood, that worldwide flood. But God was very sad that he made man on the earth, and he was filled with pain. So God has feelings. My ability to feel, fact number two, is actually a gift from God. Still back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image and in our likeness. So when God made us in his image, in his likeness, and so we have feelings like God has feelings. Well, why must I learn to manage my feelings or manage my emotions? The first reason is because many times my feelings are wrong. your gut feeling could be a virus coming on, or your gut feeling could be indigestion. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. This is the second reason we ought to manage our feelings, is because my feelings can hurt me. Proverbs 25:28 says, losing self-control, get this, leaves you as helpless as a city without a wall. In other words, there's no protection in your life if you're running out of control, if you're running on your feelings. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, to be controlled by human nature results in death. That is, to be controlled by human feelings results in death. But to be controlled by the Spirit results in life and in peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. And then Peter even weighs in on this subject when he says in 1 Peter 4:2, from now on then, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. Well, let's talk about how in the world can I actually manage some of the unwanted feelings that I have in my life. And by the way, we all have those feelings that come in. I went through a time as a young man, and I don't know where this came from, but I just developed this bitterness toward another person. And I was just dismayed at myself, and I kept trying to justify why I was so angered with this person. I would talk to other people to try to give me ammunition for why I was so angry with this person. I kept trying to justify my anger for this person. I kept looking at reasons to say, this is why I'm angry with this person. And in reality, this person never really did anything wrong. It was all in my mind. I must learn to manage unwanted feelings. So how do I do this? Number one, control the feelings. Psalm 55:2. My thoughts are restless and I am confused. Listen, if you can't control your feelings, you're going to spend a lot of time in restlessness, a lot of time in confusion. Feelings are very fleeting. They're up and down. They're all over the place. We must control our feelings. Number two, we learn to manage unwanted feelings by examining the feelings. Psalm 26:2, put me on trial, Lord. And this is David talking to God. He says, cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. Now, this is a tough prayer to pray, isn't it? Because sometimes we think, I got this feeling and it must be true because I feel it. It is very hard sometimes for us to say, God, put me on trial, cross-examine me, test my motives, test my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me. As a matter of fact, Job did this. Job 15:12. Your emotions are out of control, making you look fierce. And Job countering those who are supposed to come along and help him. Well, there's a third way to manage your unwanted feelings. Number one, you control the feeling. You know, I learned a long time ago that if I'm angry, I count to 10. Ben Franklin says, if you're really angry, count to 100, right? I hold back on that anger. Number two, examine the feeling, test those motives, see if there's a pure reason for why you are feeling the way that you're feeling. Number three, change the feeling. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So I ask myself, is this feeling that I'm feeling right now, is this a feeling that is the same feeling that Jesus Christ had? And by the way, in Philippians chapter 2, it is a chapter where Jesus is emptying himself of some of his godly attributes so that he can identify with us. He actually takes on the form of a servant. He looks at life through our eyes. He becomes like us. Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And then Zechariah 4:6 says, you will not succeed by your own strength or by your own power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord all-powerful. So if you have this feeling that you are invincible, if you have this feeling like I am the cat's meow, nobody is quite like me. If you think that you're God's gift to your church or God's gift to your family or God's gift to your community, you are a legend in your own mind. Change the way you feel. You will not succeed in your own strength, but it's only by the Spirit of the all-powerful Lord. One of the ways to help you with this is a daily prayer. And there's several good prayers that are given in the Bible to help with this matter of feelings. Galatians 5:22, for example. God's Spirit makes us loving, makes us happy, makes us peaceful, makes us patient, makes us kind, makes us good, makes us faithful, gentle, and self-controlled. Another prayer that you could pray is found in Proverbs 13:3. Lord, help me to be careful with my words, because careful words come from a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. And in Psalm 19, verse 14, David cries out to the Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord. Now, I want to recommend a book to you that I think will help you when it comes to this matter of feelings and relationships. The resource that I recommend to you is called The DNA of Relationships by Gary Smalley. That's The DNA of Relationships by Gary Smalley. As we look at this whole concept of feelings, one of the reasons I think we struggle so much with feelings is because we have ruined so many relationships. Many years ago, I led this man to the Lord, and his name was Richard, and Richard was one of those guys that managed to pretty much offend everybody that he knew. Everybody he worked with, everybody within his family. It seemed like wherever Richard went, he would create these enemies. He was one of these guys that you just loved to hate him because he was one of these bitter guys. Well, Richard ended up getting saved. And when Richard got saved, he had a genuine conversion of his faith. And when he came to Christ, he realized just how bitter he was. He realized how harsh he had been on other people. And he confided in me one day and he says, you know, I managed to pretty much alienate and isolate every person in my life that possibly could ever have loved me. When he got saved, he felt bad about that. He says, I want to start over again and I want to have a relationship with my family. So we began praying. We began praying that God would soften the family members' hearts toward him and that he would be able to offer them forgiveness and that we'd be able to see reconciliation take place. And I want you to know that this man, Richard, has so many people in his family come to Christ and have their hearts changed toward him that one day he called me up and he says, would you please stop praying for my family to be reconciled? He says, I got family coming out of the woodwork. I got people that I forgot about that I offended years ago. And they're getting right with me. I'm getting right with them. And of course, he was being a little bit sarcastic, but he saw God do mighty things. When we think about ruined relationships, why do we have relationships that are ruined? Well, part of it is this fear of exposure that will keep me distant, keep me away from people. In Genesis chapter 3, we see that God is going after Adam, and saying to Adam, why are you hiding? Adam says, I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So here we see this fear of exposure makes us distant. I want you to think about a person that maybe you have had a conflict with, and maybe you have had a disagreement with them. Now you're distant from them. I want you to know that it's very important for that relationship to be reconciled. As a matter of fact, the reconciliation of that relationship is more important than you being right. There are three phases that we go through. The first phase, if we're going to be brought back to people, is a phase I would call humiliation. They suddenly felt shame because of their nakedness. Adam and Eve fell into sin, and now they're feeling shame. They're feeling humiliated because of what they've done. The second thing they feel is what we would call sanitation. They're trying to clean things up, right? They realize we have made a mess of this situation. We are here naked as a jaybird. We got to do something about this. And so they sewed fig leaves to cover up themselves. They did the cover-up game. Now we understand what this is, right? You ever been at odds with somebody and then you run into them at Walmart or you run into them at a local establishment. And what do? They say, hey, how you doing? You know, this phony smile on their face. Hey, how you guys doing? I have so missed seeing you guys. Everything going good? Phony baloney, right? You didn't really cover anything. You just kind of just covering over. Number three. Separation. They hid from God among the trees. Now, this is kind of funny, right? They're hiding from God in the trees. Like God can't see them behind those trees. Like God doesn't know where they're hiding. You know, sometimes this happens. We separate ourselves from somebody because we're at odds with them. I always kid around with people. I said, now, listen, if you get mad at me and you decide that you're going to abandon our church, I said, when I see you at Food Line, you know what I'm going to do? If I see you at Food Line, I'm not going to avoid you. I'm going to take my cart, and I'm going to ram it right up against yours and say, hello, how are you? I said, I'm not going to avoid you. I'm going to confront you. You know, that's how we ought to do it with broken relationships. Don't be afraid to confront. Don't be afraid to lovingly and prayerfully confront. Well, there's another reason that we have this whole struggle with ruined relationship. The first is this fear of exposure, and that makes me distant. But number two is this fear of disapproval, and that makes me defensive. Going back to Genesis chapter 3, God asked Adam, "Did you eat what I told you not to eat?" Adam answered, "You gave me this woman and she gave me the fruit." Then Eve said, "Well, that snake tricked me into eating." You see, this fear of God's disapproval made Adam and Eve defensive. They are blaming each other and they become fearful of God's disapproval. Here's a third reason why we are fearful of broken relationships is because we have this fear of losing control, and that makes me demanding. And we see in verse number 6, going back to Genesis chapter 3, God says to Eve, "You'll have yearning for your husband, but he will lord it over you." The Berkeley translation says that he will dominate you. When I think about relationships with men and women, and I do a fair amount of marriage counseling, you know, man's greatest need is respect. And if he feels like he is not gaining the respect of his spouse, he becomes extremely frustrated. Women's greatest fear is losing love. You know, I've never had anybody come into my office, a man, I should say, come into my office and say, "I'm leaving my job because nobody at work loves me." Men don't kind of ask those kind of questions. They're much more concerned with, am I respected? Am I respected by my job? Am I respected by my family? And see, we hear that this conflict now because of sin is that women are going to be fearful of having the husband dominate them, and the husband is going to be fearful of having the wife not respect him. What is the antidote? The antidote is love. Where God's love is, there is no fear. 1 John 4:18. Where God's love is, there is no fear because God's perfect love drives out fear. Now, this is why our marriages must be based upon the agape love, not phileo love, not even the erratic kind of love, eros love, but the agape love, unconditional love, because where there is unconditional love, there is no fear. That love drives out that fear. So that's why I say to you men, if you will love your wife and treat her like a queen every time, all the time, she will treat you like a king. If she knows that you're genuine and that your motives are pure and you love her unconditionally and treat her like a queen, I promise you, she will treat you like a king. Because when you think about punishment, punishment has negative consequences. That's what makes a person filled with fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. Love is made perfect in the person who loves. Well, how can I live in love? Well, first of all, you've got to surrender every day your heart. I want us to look at an Old Testament passage, Job chapter 11. Surrender your heart to God, turn to Him, and give up your sins, even those that you do in secret. And this is Job 11, verses 13 through 18. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath a bridge, and your darkest night will be brighter than noon. You will rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. So if you want to have a life that is driven by love, every day surrender your heart. Surrender your heart to God. And the only way I know how to do that is to turn to Him in prayer. And as you're praying to Him, you give Him all of your sins, even the ones that you did that nobody saw you doing, those secret sins. Then you won't have to be walking around in shame, won't be walking around in guilt. You'll have confidence. You'll be walking around without fear. Your troubles will go away, and you will have the brightness of the noon shining on your life. You will rest safe and secure. You'll have hope, and you'll be emptied of all you worried. Number two, every day remember that God loves me. You know, it's an amazing thing, I think, that we forget just how much God loves us. Oh, yeah, we give verbal assent to that, and we give intellectual assent to that, but do we really deeply comprehend the fact that God loves me? And when I understand that God loves me, I am completely accepted by Him, not because of what I have done. Titus 3:7 says that Jesus made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. God loves me. I'm completely accepted. God loves me and I'm unconditionally loved. Isaiah 54:10. For even if the mountains walk away and the hills fall to pieces, my love won't walk away from you. This is God's love for us. Even though the whole world may collapse, God will never walk away from us. God loves me deeply. I am totally accepted. I am unconditionally loved, and I am completely forgiven. Oh, Romans 8:1 is one of my favorite verses. So now there is no condemnation. You get that? None, not a zip, zero, no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. I am completely forgiven because I belong to Christ. Do I deserve that forgiveness? Absolutely not. Forgiveness is always a gift. God loves me and I'm also valuable to God. 1 Corinthians 7:23. You have been bought and you have been paid for by Christ. So you belong to Him. Be free now from all of these earthly prides and fears. You know what? God not only loves you, but He likes you. Every time God thinks about you, He is reminded of the fact that Christ paid for you, that you belong to Jesus. You are free from all the fears. You are free from all the sin. God loves you, and you are so valuable to Him. Well, here's a third step I think you've got to take. If you're going to live in love every day offer God's love to others. John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Now let me tell you something about love. When God pours His love on us, we don't have enough room to contain it. God is a generous God when it comes to love. He pours that love upon us and we overflow, right? We overflow with that love. This is a new commandment. As we overflow with that love, just as Christ has loved us, we overflow with that love and we love each other. Romans 15:7 says, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Well, why should I accept somebody I don't agree with? Because when you accept somebody that you don't agree with, just as Christ has accepted you, God is actually given glory. Did you know that? When I accept somebody, and I'm talking about approving of somebody, I'm talking about accepting somebody. Everyone is welcome at Hickory Ridge Community Church, but not everybody is approved of. There's a major difference. Now, just because I don't approve of what you do doesn't mean I hate you. I could not approve what you're doing, but still love you. I have 5 children. I am blessed with 5 children. I don't always approve what they do, but I always love them. I always accept them. Now, because I love them so much, I will confront them in these areas that I disapprove of. I'm not going to turn the other way and pretend that there's no problem here. I'm going to address the problem because I love them. You know, the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens, right? And so as a parent, when you really love your children, you're going to not tolerate certain nonsense in their lives, but you're going to still love them. Love never stops being patient. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 7. Never stops being patient. I'm tired of being patient. Love never stops being patient. When you say I'm tired of being patient, you're really saying I'm not loving anymore. Love never stops believing. Love never stops hoping. Love never gives up. This is some tough teaching, I know. When you think about this whole concept of living in love. But if you remember the beginning of the broadcast, we talked about the whole aspect of the fact that we can live differently and we can have our feelings transformed. When you think about transformed feelings are transformed when I'm driven by the fact of love. You know, love is not a feeling, love is a decision. When I decide to love somebody, my feelings toward that person change. They change automatically. As you think about the opportunities that God has given to us today, I am praying that you will be transformed by your feelings. Now, we have a ministry that I want to close our broadcast telling you about. It's a ministry that I think will transform you in this matter of hurts, habits, and hangups. It's called Celebrate Recovery. Just this past Sunday night, Greg Mayshock taught the lesson on understanding this transformation of feelings. I want to encourage you, if you have a habit you can't get past, now I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol, and I'm talking about a hurt you can't get past. Would you consider joining us this Sunday night, 6 p.m., Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard South in Chesapeake, Virginia? We'll make you feel right at home. We'll welcome you into the service. There's two parts to Celebrate Recovery. You have the open share time, and then you have a small group share time. I'd love to have you come and be part of that. That's Sunday night at 6 o'clock. If you have questions about it, feel free to call me at 757-421-7500. Thanks for listening to the broadcast today.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.